Brother Mike Huxley, graduate of the School for Kingdom Evangelizers and pioneer elder from the Edmonton Gateway Russian Congregation, will consider the final part of this symposium, Why True Christians Need Courage to Maintain Neutrality.
Wouldn't you agree that if you were going to do something that would complicate your life, there would have to be a very good reason for it? We have so little time these days. However, as humans, don't we love to complicate our lives? We might buy a house, a car, we get married, have children. Why do we do these things? We've weighed the pros and the cons, and we realize this could really enhance my life. In a world that is deeply divided, a world that wants us to take sides, why do we maintain neutrality? Well, neutrality is defined as the position of those who do not take sides or give support to either of two or more contending parties. So really, it's just not taking sides, especially politically. We know it's not only the right thing to do, but it has many blessings. 1 John 5:19, you probably remember that scripture. It says that the whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one. What do we learn from this? Essentially, that any power that governments may wield, it's in Satan's hands. And some of these leaders might be people trying to do good things, but Satan is the one pulling the strings. And we can see by the state that the world is in, don't we? We maintain strict neutrality when it comes to political issues. And we are in no part of the world, like it says in John 17 and 14. However, would you not agree? This stand takes courage. People don't like it. Notice the situation, how it's described. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 8, very vivid imagery. If you turn to Revelation chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. Revelation chapter 8, starting in verse 8, where it says, the second angel blew his trumpet. Verses 8 and 9. Notice how it describes the situation that you and I are in. It says, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was hurled into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were wrecked. We know that in the Bible, mountains can frequently represent government. And notice, this isn't just a great mountain. It's a burning mountain. It well describes the situation since the start of the Lord's day in 1914. What happened then? It was God's government, God's kingdom was set up, and this issue of government became a burning one. Why do we say it's burning? Well, it was thrown into the sea of mankind, and there was great bloodshed. Have you ever touched a hot barbecue or a stove? What's your first reaction? That really hurts. You pull it away and you don't forget it. Why? Because it affects you personally and you take immediate action. That is how many people today view the issue of government. And they don't understand why we don't feel the same way. It needs to change. Notice further how Revelation in chapter 13 talks about the pressure this puts on you and I. Turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 13. Starting in verse 16. So Revelation chapter 13, verse 16, where it talks about this wild beast. Remember? Wild beast essentially representing the world's political system as a whole. Now, in Revelation 13, 16, where it says it, talking about the wild beast, puts under compulsion all people, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the slaves, that these should be marked on their right hand and on their forehead, and that nobody can buy or sell except a person having the mark, the name of the wild beast, or the number of its name. Well, we don't take this verse literally. However, this beast that represents the world's political system, did you notice at the start of verse 16, the enormous pressure? It says it puts under compulsion which people? All people. Everyone is under the gun, under the pressure of this beast to get involved in these political fights. And notice how it says in at the end of verse 16 to get marked on the hand, that is giving physical support by our actions, or on the head to give mental support. If you've ever been to a concert or a sporting event where they ask you to stand for the national anthem, you understand this pressure. Even some of our young ones every day face this at school. You're sitting down, everybody's standing. You feel their stare at you. How do you feel? Do you need courage? Determination? Absolutely. We must have courage to keep the stand. However, what about those on the other side of the coin? Those who do not support the government, who want a change, and they're very vocal about it. They may even arrange protest rallies. How do we view them? And what if it's about something that affects us personally? Notice what it says in Proverbs 24 and verse 21. Please turn with me there. Some very direct counsel. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 21. Proverbs 24 and verse 21. It says, "My son, fear Jehovah and the king, and do not associate with dissenters." Now you'll notice the footnote on dissenters to get a bit more of an explanation of that word. Verse 21, it says, "Those who are for a change." Doesn't that well describe people who organize protest rallies? They want to change. They want to see something happen. But what does this council say? Jehovah says, don't even associate with these people. So it's a very balanced council. We don't support the government politically, but we don't oppose it. However, none of us as true Christians would allow one of these protesters to perhaps use our living room as an office to organize a protest rally. However, would we read their blogs, perhaps go on their social media, read their comments that people make on news articles? So we may not be marching with them on the streets, but maybe in our hearts we are. We have to be so careful. Luke 20 in verse 25 says, "We pay back Caesar's things to Caesar and God's things to God. We do not salute the flag. We do not sing the anthem. We won't even take part in school politics. This requires courage and determination." The following video shows a courageous witness, a diamond-like witness who maintained neutrality under pressure. Let's watch this.
I became one of Jehovah's Witnesses in 1975 in Zaire. Zaire was under dictatorship at that time. There was only one political party, and everyone was supposed to join it. Therefore, a position at work also required a position in the political party. I refused to have anything to do with these political activities. One day they asked me to be present for the flag salute. I had to go and explain to all the workers that had assembled why I didn't want to be there. So as I set off, understandably, I prayed a lot. Until then, I would just stay out of sight. But on that day, everyone was very angry, so I had to be present. On Saturday, a man from the party came. He came to the office and started to yell. Who doesn't want to participate in political activities? He carried on talking and called everyone to come outside. So everyone went outside. I stayed alone in the office. On the way home, I thought maybe they were going to arrest me, but they did not. We went home, myself included. Afterwards, besides having to face peer pressure nearly every day, I was demoted. One year, the children didn't attend school because we didn't have enough money. Even for our day-to-day needs, it became difficult. I didn't neglect spiritual things. I always kept busy attending the meetings, participating at the meetings, in the ministry, with my personal study, and even more so with my prayer to Jehovah. Jehovah has blessed me because I'm still in the truth. All that time, He has blessed me. To be neutral is the best way to show that we support Jehovah's kingdom, apart from the preaching work, obviously. Even when the government goes against our activity, we shouldn't take this as something bad or negative. It can serve a purpose. It can render a witness. It is a witness in support of God's kingdom, the name of Jehovah, and His authority. Understanding it in that way, we will rely on Jehovah. Jehovah never allows something without reason.
Doesn't Brother Nasilu have an amazing attitude? Did you notice how he said that government bans or persecution is not necessarily a bad thing? Wow. If the average person was told that tomorrow they were meant to take part in a triathlon, they would probably look at that as a bad thing. But if given the time to train, change their diet, they may be really pumped for it. They might really want to take part in it. Dear friends, we are being faced right now by a spiritual triathlon that will culminate in the Great Tribulation and Armageddon. We must have strong faith, strong determination to maintain our neutrality. The world will doubtless get more polarized than it already is, and unexpected challenges could come our way. Proverbs 22 and 3 says that the shrewd one sees the danger and conceals himself. What can you and I do to be shrewd? We need a training routine to make sure our neutrality is rock hard. Here are some steps. We have four steps we can do. Let's take a look at the first one in Ecclesiastes 8 and 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, open that with me please, and we'll look at the very last part of the verse. So, book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, and verse 9, very end of the verse. It says here that man has dominated man to his harm. What is Jehovah's view of politics? It's harmful. Notice this, the asterisk, the star for the end, for harm, it says, or injury, detriment. Have you ever gotten a new appliance or power tool and it comes with this little warning on it that says, uses language like, to avoid severe personal injury, don't use underwater, don't stick in the toaster, don't do foolish things with it, right? Essentially, this verse in Ecclesiastes is like this warning from Jehovah. Taking part in politics will lead to your harm. So we do not support the world's politics in any way. We want to have Jehovah's view of the matter. That's our first step. The second one is to avoid undue pride. What kind of pride? Pride of race, nation, tribe, culture, city, even the side of the city that we come from. Could that be a problem? we must avoid. Taking undue pride in our place of origin is at the heart of nationalism. It could be the first step towards compromise. We have to be especially careful when we're watching sporting events as well. What is it usually? It's one place against another, one country against another. That could be the seeds of nationalism growing in our hearts if we aren't very careful. So that's the second step. Avoid undue pride. The next step in our training routine is prayer. But when? When you are affected by injustice or corruption, perhaps a law that affects you personally and you feel is unjust, that is a test. And that is when we must pray to Jehovah to have the needed qualities like peace, patience, mildness, so that we do not compromise and start speaking out. Pray for Holy Spirit. The fourth step in our training routine is meditation. We want to meditate on Bible verses like Mark 12:17, pay back Caesar's things to Caesar, or the government's things to them, but God's things to God. Acts 5:29, obey God as ruler rather than men. Meditating on and getting emotional about these verses, meditating and memorizing them will help us when under test. Notice what our dear brother Wilmer in Colombia said. He said, "Help Isaiah 2 and 4 help me to remain neutral when under test. I pictured in my mind the quietness of life in the new world when no one would carry a weapon to harm his neighbor." Isn't that beautiful? We must meditate on Bible verses and memorize them. But also, we need to meditate on the examples of faithful Christians who are remaining neutral to this day. There are some in countries like Eritrea, Russia, Singapore, South Korea, Turkmenistan, who are in jail to this day, merely for being a witness or for being neutral, refusing to take part in wars. You can learn more about them on our website under Newsroom Legal Developments. And there's an article that's regularly updated called Jehovah's Witnesses in Prison for Their Faith. You can read their biography and the courageous stand that they're taking. So what were the four steps in our spiritual workout routine to remain neutral? Ecclesiastes 8:9, share Jehovah's view of politics. 2, avoid undue pride of our origins. 3, pray for the qualities we need to remain neutral. And 4, meditate on scriptures, memorize them, that will help us to remain neutral under test, and meditate on the examples of our dear brothers. If you'd like a reference, we have Watchtower, April Watchtower 2016, pages 27 to 31. Without a doubt, and thinking about Brother Nasila's example, neutrality can complicate our lives. However, there are enormous blessings from it. We have Jehovah's blessing. And no matter what Satan does, he cannot divide our beautiful spiritual family that we see in this hall today. We avoid blood guilt. We take no part in the wars which are ripping apart the human family right now. And finally, we have the best friendship we could possibly want with our Creator Jehovah, who not only deserves our exclusive devotion, but demands it. And he's so deserving. He's the best friend we could have. Dear brothers and sisters and friends, be determined to remain part of Jehovah's unique people by showing courage to remain neutral in a divided world.
Thank you, brothers, for those motivating talks, explaining not only why we need courage, but also the positive results of showing it.